comes. The latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and I thank you for listening. The name of our show today is Report Card on Pedestrian Safety, and we're going to put a very special spotlight on Tucson and Pima County. That's what we'll be talking about. Joining me in studio are Gabe Thumb, Transportation Safety Program Coordinator, and Sam Sanford, Transportation Planner, Pima Association of Governments. Welcome to both of you, and thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks for having us.
On this absolutely gorgeous day, right?
It's beautiful outside, absolutely.
Oh my gosh, when you think about how many places it snow, you go out in the sunshine, you say, Hallelujah. So I'd like to start by asking both of you to talk a little bit about your scope of work at Pima Association of Governments, and how do you work together? That was one of my questions, to make our city and county have safer streets for its many pedestrians, more pedestrian traffic than I have ever seen, I think, in a really long time. So who wants to start? Sam, do you want to tell us what you do?
Sure. It'd be my pleasure. So I focus on bicycle pedestrian-related issues. We're fortunate enough to be a fairly small shop at Pima Association of Governments. So Gabe and I work close together. We're close proximity as far as our offices are concerned. And there's a lot of cross-pollination between both interests and what our charges are, what we work on. So Gabe works closely with safety. I'm working on cyclists and pedestrian concerns. Obviously, there's a lot of overlap between those two. I'll go to him with questions, ask for resources, and vice versa. And that's day-to-day operations. We're doing that.
You know, it's a big job to keep the streets safe for pedestrians and, in turn, keep it safer for drivers, too. I mean, I've seen accidents where someone's crossing not when they're supposed to, and you don't see them because you're on the right, and they're coming, you know, out of a non-pedestrian, you know, non-crosswalk. And it's scary. It's a big deal. So do you want to talk about what you do, Gabe?
Sure. So I coordinate the Regional Transportation Safety Program. I know it's quite
big
a job,
right? But it's big jobs.
It's very important. One of my favorite phrases in the entire world is that we are all pedestrians. I think it's important that we realize whether or
yes.
not we drive on a regular basis, or we take the bus, or maybe we walk to our work or to our grocery store, walk our kids to school, whatever it is. We're all pedestrians at one point or another.
Or take walks in the neighborhood.
Or take a walk in the neighborhood, exactly. Just get out and enjoy our community, enjoy all the beautiful days that we have, including today, among others. And it's important that we all realize that. And one of the biggest things that we try and promote is a culture of safety. And we're trying to do that among our member jurisdictions, like the city of Tucson, Pima County, Oro Valley, the town of Marana, et cetera. And we have a lot of great regional cooperation with those folks, is we say, well, we're going to start here and promote that culture of safety and say, we're all pedestrians. Everybody slow down a little bit. When you get behind the wheel, are you really in that big of a hurry? It's going to save you 30 seconds to go faster, or to, you know, maybe cut that corner a little too tight, or whatever it is. It's important that we all step back and say, let's start here. Let's calm down. Let's slow down a little bit. And hopefully that sort of is gonna spread to the larger culture in our region of trying to be a little bit more conscious of the fact that, you know, we all need to be a little bit safer spread that.
And it's great that you brought that up, because the only time I think of myself as a pedestrian is when I'm downtown. I walk around all over downtown, and that's one of the things I'm going to ask you about, because it is really highly lots of foot traffic, and I love the underpass from 4th Avenue to downtown. I mean, it's really contributing to vibrant growth. Mm-hmm. But I don't think about it. I walk in my neighborhood all the time. I'm just taking a morning walk. I'm not a pedestrian. That's only in high traffic areas. But no, indeed, I am.
Indeed.
That's a really good thing to point out. So how are we trending? Since I chose to name this show a report card, you have trends. How are we doing? Are there more accidents less? I mean, we're growing downtown. There's all kinds of factors that are involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we definitely see an upward trend as far as biking and walking in our region, and that stands nationally as well. It's important, though, when we look at the crash data, that we keep in mind that we're looking at multiple years of data. From 1 year to the next, you're going to see peaks and valleys in the data. A lot of traffic fatalities, a lot of crashes, and then a lot less the following year. So it's important that we look at least 5 years worth of data just to keep that relatively smooth. As far as trends specifically, we're relatively steady. That being said,
which is better than going up.
Right. And there is a slight upward trend right now with pedestrian crashes and cyclists. But again, I would caution you to take a look at the larger set of data when we look at multiple years. And also keep in mind, too, and then this is what's concerning, is that the proportion of crashes that are happening to bicyclists and pedestrians, that's going up. And that in large part has to do with the fact that car safety itself, the engineering of cars themselves, that's getting better and that's getting safer. So you're seeing less fatalities and serious injuries for people
cars.
In cars, but folks that are out there that are pedestrians that are walking, that are biking, you're still seeing that same number, if not higher. And proportionally, if the cars are going down, then the pedestrians take up a bigger set of that data.
So there's a lot of work to still be done. And that's a really good, honest answer. I mean, it's when I was preparing for the show, I thought, what a massive job. What a lot of responsibility. And I was wondering about things like, are there patterns? Are there areas of town where it's really worse that you have to focus on, maybe education? I mean, I know areas like Grant and Alvernon in our city. Oh my gosh. I don't ever want to get in the turning lane there because you sit through three lights. It's so heavily trafficked in terms of pedestrians. And again, the other area for me that I see a lot is downtown. Is there a correlation between the volume of traffic, foot traffic, and the number of accidents? Like, what are the danger zones is what I'm asking.
Absolutely. We see a natural correlation between the volume of pedestrians that are out there and then the crashes that are
just
happening.
Makes sense.
It does. And we have the clusters. You already mentioned downtown, 4th Avenue. But then there are other areas like Grant and Alvernon is one of our top spots where when we look at the long-term crash patterns for pedestrians, that's a hot spot. Alvernon and Speedway, that can be a hot spot. Wherever you have a lot of people that are either locked into the mode of walking or choose to do that more regularly as their means of transportation, you're going to see higher statistics of crashes there.
And they have, it's a lot of people going to the buses. It's a great bus route, so there's a lot of apartments in those areas. What about in the university area? I know that's not within your direct jurisdiction, but how is that, Sam, in terms of bikes and accidents there?
Well, as far as usage, it's our highest area for both cyclists and pedestrians, and that's for students and also a lot of commuters and other people, recreational riders that are using the university facilities, University Boulevard and 3rd Street, as far as access to it.
Right.
Going through it to maybe access even places like downtown or other neighborhoods. So that is one of our highest usage areas as far as crashes. There are crashes there, but there's also very low speeds. So, and there's also expectation on the side of the driver. When you drive to the campus, you know, hey, there's going to be a lot of students. There's going to be a lot of people walking, and there's a lot. I better slow down because somebody could step out in front of me, or I might not see with 1,000 moving objects in front of me as you're trying to go down a street like Olive. You automatically take precautions.
Your caution warning goes up internally.
Yeah.
And so
that's
true.
That's a great point, and that kind of ties into that culture of safety. When the whole community kind of expects one certain area to be a lot more pedestrian heavy, a lot more cyclist heavy, they do naturally tend to slow down and say, okay, I'm going to have to yield to folks. In our bicycle pedestrian count, for example, we have not a lot of helmet usage in the university area, which we wonder why that is. And maybe it's, vanity, or maybe it's an inconvenience to carry your helmet around campus all day. But wearing your helmet's, very important, obviously. But what we don't see is a lot of what we call wrong way riding when the cyclist is on the other side of the street. And we attribute that to the fact that there are just so many people cycling.
You have to go with the flow.
And enough people yell at you and say, get on the right side
of
the road.
Right.
When
I see people on a bike coming down a sidewalk, it's scary because they can hurt you. And I don't like it. I just don't. And I know it's against the law. So I just get out of the way and do the smart thing. What this is, like I said to you when I'm preparing, it's, like, it's such a massive vision for me of being responsible for pedestrian safety when there are hundreds of thousands of us, if not millions, during the year. What does PAG do about pedestrian safety, and how do you begin to approach it? Where do you start to focus on pedestrian safety?
That's a great question. There are so many areas that you can tackle at, everything from education, enforcement, engineering. PAG specifically, we take a look at pedestrian safety in our pedestrian plan, which was completed in 2014. Where we really took a look at where the crashes are happening, what are the generators for pedestrian traffic, and what are some things that we can do about that. Just last year, we completed our strategic transportation safety plan, which took a look at all modes, drivers, transit, bicyclists, pedestrians, but we definitely focused on those, what we call vulnerable users, which are the cyclists and pedestrians. And in that, we looked at those emphasis areas where, you know, what's happening, what are the crash types, and we analyzed that. And we really partner a lot with our partners on the regional level, where we reach out to, you know, our Moranas and our South Tucsons and our Sayuritas, and we say, here are the crash statistics that we're seeing, here are the patterns that we're seeing, and here's the locations that where we're seeing them at. Here's where you may want to focus your efforts. So it's really sort of trying to be a guide to our member jurisdictions, who really do a lion's share of that work.
So you reach out to them, and they have the information from you, from the data that you've collected and the plan, and mm-hmm. then they are responsible for the education and outreach or implementation of safety measures?
In large part, yes. But that being said, PAG does a lot of education and outreach on our own. We do a Light the Night program where we go out several times during the year. We hand out lights
I know. And helmets. It's great. Yes.
Ostensibly, that's for cyclists. But, yes. You know, we absolutely hand out lights for pedestrians as well, because a lot of pedestrians don't think about that when they go out for an evening walk. They don't think to go grab a little light, go be visible, go do something to make yourself more visible, whatever that is. And it's simple. If I go for a run in my neighborhood, for example, I take a little bike light and I put it on my pinky, and, you know, I go running through the neighborhood with that.
And it's really weird, but the thing about that to me is, if you're walking at night, you don't just owe that to yourself to be safe. You should do that to be respectful of the car traffic.
Absolutely.
Because nobody wants to hit a pedestrian, but if you're there in a black jogging suit or whatever and a cap, and you don't let them know, it's not fair. It's not responsible.
And it's what I tell folks. I say, well, would you like to drive around at night in your car with your lights off? Because half the reason you have your lights on is so you can be visible.
It's not
just so you can see what's right in front of you. It's so other people can see where you are.
That is a good point. So how do you distribute information about safety? Like, I was thinking, what do these guys do? Put flyers on people's cars or go on the radio to Mrs. Green's World? Or what do you do?
Great example.
That's a great example.
Right, yeah.
One of the best I've heard so far. But all kidding aside, how do you begin to permeate and kind of target populations where it's going to have the most impact and is the highest area of need?
Through our Light the Night program, we do provide a lot of information. We have pamphlets and safety brochures and things where we're trying to educate the public on that. Beyond that, we partner with law enforcement. We have a diversion program. Where we will partner with the Pima County Sheriff's Department, TPD, all of our law enforcement agencies throughout the region, all of our partners, where we offer a class as an alternative to paying a ticket that's related, a citation that's related to a bicycle or pedestrian infraction, where instead of paying, you know, $179, for example, you can pay $39, go into this class. It's a 3-hour class. We've developed the curriculum, and starting a year and a half ago, we opened that up to pedestrians and had some pedestrian-specific curriculum added to it.
Wow.
So we say, hey, you know, we'd rather you not pay the ticket and be educated so you can not only be safe but also be legal. And that's really what our goal is for everyone to be safe and to be legal.
And you know that is what I call a ripple effect, because mm-hmm. I have known some people, of course not myself, that have had to go to traffic school, and you always learn things. You always learn things or heighten your awareness, and it is beneficial. Everybody complains that they have to go, mm-hmm. and everybody comes out saying, wow, there's some things in there that I didn't know, and I think that's important. One of the things I want to ask you about is the city of Tucson, from my understanding, has been designated a pedestrian safety focus city. There's
Correct.
All kinds of cool titles. So, Sam, do tell, what does that mean?
Well, the city is not only a pedestrian-focused city, but it's also a bicycle-focused city. And that's a special designation that's essentially from Federal Highways, FHWA, for cities that have crash rates for cyclists and pedestrians that are above average, above the national norm.
Okay.
And what that offers to the city is essentially additional technical resources to help deal with some of those challenges. A good example, most recently, the city of Tucson took up Federal Highways on the offer of technical resources and put on a 3-day workshop to develop a pedestrian safety action plan. So the 3 days they had Federal Highways brought in one of their specialists on pedestrian safety. They also brought in a private sector consultant to help with this. First day was a large public meeting with elected officials and media there kicking it off.
Was there a great turnout?
There was a huge turnout.
Huge? That's
yes.
Great.
It was great.
That's great. And how did you publicize that?
That was, for the most part, we helped facilitate the communications and the outline prior to the meeting and then participate in the meeting. The PR piece was more on the city. They
great.
Were able to
That's great.
Call the major channels and get the representatives
and raise
to show
awareness.
Up.
That's
yeah.
awesome. Okay.
Yeah, it was a wonderful event.
So it's a way to help us be safer.
Yes. It's essentially planning going. Using Gabe's terms of the engineering, the enforcement, education, those three E's, this plan, the Pedestrian Safety Action Plan, went through each of those pieces and then some with an interdisciplinary team of enforcement officers, engineers, and others. How do we actually get to the specifics for this region? How do we tackle this concern over pedestrian safety?
And, you know, a question I have, and I hope this makes sense, how does the human factor contribute to pedestrian crashes and safety? Is it some people are more aware? Talk to me about the human factor, because that's the common denominator in this. It's humans either doing the right thing or really screwing up.
Absolutely. You know, FHWA has found that human factors contribute to 93% of the crashes that we have across the country.
Tell us what FHWA is.
Federal Highway Administration.
Okay.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. We swim in acronyms.
I know. So my job is always to say, okay, ask them what
right,
that means.
What does that really
right.
mean? So Federal Highway Administration, they're sort of like the overall Department of Transportation for the entire nation. And they do a lot of really helpful things and help fund a lot of studies and provide these types of pieces of information. And they found that, human factors are a big contributor to almost all crashes. Things that we see specifically related to pedestrian safety is, or lack thereof, is distracted driving. Is a big one,
oh
whether
gosh,
someone's texting or they're
texting?
On the phone.
Oh my gosh.
It's such a big issue, and it's such a challenge. You know, if you're drinking and driving, you're 10 times more likely to be in a crash. If you're texting and driving, you're 23 times more likely to be in a crash. It's a huge difference. And people just don't, I think there's that message is starting to get out there. And, you know, we're starting to, in our region, we're starting to enact some laws that, you know, the hands-free device ordinance in Oro Valley and things that we have on the books already in the city and county. They're starting to recognize that, but that's a huge problem. Distracted driving and texting and driving is just such a huge problem, and it goes back to that being attentive, being a considerate user of the transportation network, and slowing down a little bit too. But other things that we see that contribute, like I said, alcohol is a big one for pedestrians. It's important that they're visible in most of the city, mid-block crossings. On the pedestrian's part, isn't legal, and it's considered to be less than safe. But even at intersections, we see a lot of crashes at intersections with pedestrians, where pedestrians have the right of way, drivers are going too fast or not paying attention. Maybe they're making that right turn, and someone's in the crosswalk, and you know it's really unfortunate. But the pedestrian can be completely in the right and completely have the right of way, and they lose at the end of the day when they get struck by a vehicle. And that's why we want everyone again to just take a deep breath, slow
I'm
down.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I'm guilty. And I am better, but it reminds me again, I should commit to you on the air. I should have people call me out that listen to this. Put my phone away, because
yes.
I do have a Bluetooth in the car, so I don't need to use it. And
right.
I should put it where I can't reach it once I get in the car. And like I said, I'm better. But my husband and I, when we're in the car together, we will say, like if he's driving, I'll say, they're texting, they have a device, they're texting, they're not, they're good, they're not. It's shocking.
Yeah. You know,
shocking.
Overall, it really requires a multifaceted approach. You know, we focus a lot at PAG and with our member jurisdictions on the planning and the engineering side of things. And those are very important things. But we also have to remember, as you mentioned, the education, the outreach, and law enforcement. I mean, we work a lot with our law enforcement partners to really figure out ways where we can really do the targeted enforcement where it's going to be most effective, so we can help educate the public and reduce crashes and make everybody safer and get home at the end of the day.
And don't text and drive.
Please don't.
I've taken the pledge numerous times.
Yes.
It shames me. And I love admitting my failures on the air, but it helps me hold myself accountable.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you said pledge, because we have, if you go to Walk Safe, Drive Safe, it's a program that we created, and there's a website for it. Where you can take the pedestrian pledge, where you can pledge, you can read kind of what you're pledging to and the safe behaviors that you're saying, you know, which is educating folks like, hey, I didn't know that maybe I shouldn't do that or I should do this. So we walk people through that and we ask them to make that pledge at Walk Safe, Drive Safe.
And I'm ethical enough. When I sign something, mm-hmm. it matters. It's like,
absolutely.
I really care. And it's like, I put it down like, oh gosh, I signed the pledge. I want to ask you both, or whoever has the answer, and if you don't, it's really fine. I never put anybody on the spot. I was wondering also, are most of the accidents caused by pedestrians making a mistake and walking where they shouldn't be, or by drivers who really aren't paying, you know, drivers, cars and drivers? Do you know the answer to that? I wish this was on video, because they're pointing at each other, and I love that. I outed them this time. So
no, I think we both have a lot to say on it. We just didn't want to step on each other's toes. I think that it's really 50-50 when we look at the statistics.
Wow.
When we look at
that's good to know.
The citations that are issued by law enforcement, essentially assessing, you know, who was the one
right,
that caused
right.
the issue. It's about half when we look at alcohol involvement with crashes. It's about 50-50.
People.
It's you don't want to just not drink and drive. Obviously, we all know that.
Right.
But you don't want to really get, you know, be above the limit and walk either, because your judgment's impaired.
You're impaired.
Not judging
right.
speed and distance. Usually it's in the evening, and that's when we see a lot of crashes. That's when crashes really spike or in the evening.
I just thought of a hashtag, don't walk and drink. Don't drink and walk.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, but that's something else that you don't think about. You're thinking of a big, you know, a car is a lethal weapon. And you really want to remember that when you get behind the wheel if you're impaired. Sam, what do you want to add to that?
I was going to add that when I started with PAG, I was under the impression that, you know, when I grew up, you wore light clothes at night, like a white shirt, and then people would see you.
Yeah.
But then I started seeing this evidence and videos and demonstrations that, no, a white shirt in a dark road, you can see the car clear as day, but the car cannot see you. And that's when
so
it kind of came to my reality that you either need lights with you or reflective clothing, you know, turning your phone on, flashlight, having something like that. So you have something that's emitting light. Mm-hmm. Your clothes in general don't reflect very well, especially when you're in an evening situation where depth and speed are hard to determine. You say, oh, I can see the car, so obviously they can see me. That's a general rule that works really well in the daylight, but at nighttime.
At nighttime. And we have a lot of roads that are very dark here at night. Very dark.
Yeah,
not without, not a lot of you know, lights to light the walkway. So it is really scary. And you can kind of tell the veteran joggers. I mean, they do have those reflective mm-hmm. patches on their shoes mm-hmm. and on their backs of their jackets. And they're caring about themselves and about us, because like I said, people don't really want to hit
right.
a pedestrian.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I know that you have some cool things down, and I can't wait to tell you the cool thing I discovered recently, but pedestrian amenities. What do we have in Tucson that you can share with us?
Well, the entire region has a robust network of pedestrian amenities. And when we're talking about amenities, we're just talking, you know, what can people actually utilize to get from where they are to where they want to get to? How are they going to get across the network? So many of our principal or major roads, arterials and collectors, as we like to call them, are outfitted with sidewalks, lighting, so people can see where they're going, that vehicles can see them as well. Obviously, we have the curb cuts as far as access from the sidewalk to cross the road, and many of them, most of them now have the truncated domes, those essentially the bumps that you see at the bottom of a curb cut as you exit or enter onto a sidewalk. Those are the traditional part of the network. However, this region, off the top of my head, I can think of two kind of highlights for our region. One being the loop, which is a separated pathway or separated system where motorized vehicles are not allowed. People can walk, ride their bikes. Equestrians are invited to use it as well. And it circles the downtown region, really the urban core regions, larger than downtown, but also has spurs out to Marana and Oro Valley. Huge facility.
Massive
for this region.
Miles.
Yes.
It's like it's a big deal to be safe. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not going to walk around it in a day. But also, it does provide access to a lot of those destinations where people want to go to. Much of that pass, since it does go around the urban area, you can actually walk to a store or walk to the back,
right,
back of
right.
the store and then get access to it. So that's the first one. The second one would be essentially what we call our HOK, which is a system for pedestrians and other users to cross a major roadway. So one of the major challenges we have when we're negotiating in the network is, hey, I've just walked down this great neighborhood.
Right,
now
right.
I need to cross a huge six-lane divided road. How do I actually do it? Either you have to walk to a signalized intersection, which could be some distance from where you're at. And maybe
which like is kind of annoying when you're a pedestrian. You think, mm-hmm. okay, I'm looking both ways, which
yeah.
again, do not do that.
Right. You know, and time is finite, and you think you start judging priorities of like, well, if I go down there and come back. So this region is the home and really the birthplace of a facility called the HOK, which is essentially, it's a push button activation. The pedestrian activates it by pushing the button. Then motorists are advised that somebody's going to be crossing here shortly. And we see these people who are listening to this who live locally are familiar with it, where you have the red balls right. that alternate and then go solid. Pedestrian gets a green light to cross. And
those are great.
They
are great,
quick.
And they really yeah. get your attention.
They do. If you've lived in Tucson for more than, or been in Tucson for more than a week, then you know what these are, the push button crossings.
Yeah.
They flash yellow, then
yes.
go solid yellow, then they go red, and they flash
right.
red. And what we found is there's been national studies from Federal Highway Administration and other institutes from around the country and universities. They have studied the effectiveness of HOKs, and they have a massive reduction in pedestrian crashes, pedestrian fatalities. It even helps with cars. It reduces car crashes by something in the neighborhood of 25%, 28%, where it's because other cars know, oh, okay, I'm going to go ahead and slow down. That guy in front of me is slowing down.
Right.
Where
right.
if you don't have a signalized crossing, you may not know what's going on. And, you know, you get into the multiple threat issue where you,
yeah.
you know, you might try and pass the guy in the
somebody's,
other lane.
That's what I was talking
right.
Yes. You'll,
but
with you
this,
will see him coming.
It's very clear. It's over the road. It's very clear that you need to slow down. You need to stop. And then you proceed when clear.
Okay, and I don't know, Sam, if this was one of the brainchild's products of PAG and the whole RTA. I'm going to tell you, I mean, the pedestrian project, but I just discovered the one by Maynard's and the Hotel Congress mm-hmm. that you go in the back across the road, and you're that weird intersection. I was trying to cross it one day, and I'm like, where in God's name am I supposed to go? And there it was. It was, I saw people coming down from the other side, and I investigated, and now it's so safe and it's so yeah. easy and very heavily trafficked. People downtown in the know that, so that's great. Right. And then I have to ask you with the you know how the crosswalks have like 10, 9, 8, 7, 6.
Yes.
Does that help? Because that helps
yeah.
me.
Oh,
yes,
definitely.
Absolutely.
I know. It's like, okay, we got, if we're walking, we're like, hurry up. We only have like 6 seconds.
Absolutely.
Hurry up. So that increases the safety awareness and decreases accidents. That's good to
Absolutely.
Know. And we don't have a lot of time left. So I want to talk again about walksafedrivesafe.com for people to check that out. And then can you quickly say the annual bike ped count? What is that?
So essentially that was an effort started in 2008 to better understand the trends and characteristics of cyclists and pedestrians that are using the facility across the region. So we work collaboratively with our partners, City Tucson, South Tucson, and others, to find out where we should count. Hundreds of volunteers go out and count in October and find out
I've
how many
seen
people
them.
Are using them.
I'm not kidding.
It's
were
great.
You there,
the
there, and
there,
yeah. yes,
out there,
yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh, that is not a volunteer job I ever want.
And then we use that data
it's really
for studies
quite easy and fun,
programming.
Right?
It's highly used by the jurisdictions,
and
nonprofits,
helpful.
Education.
Well, you guys were
great.
And you can find out walksafeanddrivesafe.com and on Facebook, PAG Region is a great Facebook page, Twitter, PAG Region. Next week, Tucson Medical Center right here discussing heart health. And for our Saturday show, Cy Montgomery, The Soul of an Octopus. It's going to be another great show, how we can learn from the octopus. You guys were great, and it was fun, and the time flew.
Thank you.
So I know I had a good time.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, thanks. Make it a great green week, everybody.